is one chapter completed, and the next chapter is opening up. For me, you know, when I opened up that rookie contract, I was, wow, this is it. And I completed that chapter. Now it's the next chapter.
They throw low. It could be a double pass. This is Boyd. Now he wants to throw it back. And the ball picked off by the Jaguars. Josh Allen. Has he done enough this year yet? He picked off the double pass and ran it back inside the 10-yard line of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Extremely honored, extremely blessed, and humbled to be even given a contract of this size. And you know, I'm just so blessed.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Happy Wednesday to you. We are marching ever so close to the Jacksonville Jaguars securing their first Lombardi Championship. I don't know when that's coming, Tony, but we're getting close. I feel
it's a day closer.
It's a day closer.
It's going to happen. We're a day closer to it. Yeah.
What do you mean if it's going to happen? Yeah. How dare you even suggest it couldn't happen?
It's a big assumption.
I suppose. Yeah. I'm going to say the Jaguars will definitely win a Super Bowl. I just don't know when.
Yeah.
You know. Then again, might have said that to the Detroit Lion fans back when the Super Bowl started in the 60s.
It's got
to
happen at some point.
It'll happen. Yeah. We won all these championships. Are you kidding me? In the 50s and whatnot?
Yeah.
We'll get that. No problem. Still waiting on it.
Mm-hmm.
Wah, wah. all right. So today, we're not going to guess when the Jaguars are going to win the Super Bowl, unless that's what you want to do, because we're going to talk a lot about Trevor Lawrence. He spoke yesterday at length. Foye Luikin doing the same thing. Tone as the Jags open up the offseason program. And look, maybe this is not the highest bar in the world, but it does make me feel good every time Trevor Lawrence opens his mouth and says how much he enjoys playing in Jacksonville, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He doesn't have to say that stuff. And they're the team that is likely going to be handing him $250 million sooner rather than later, at least promises to pay him something in that vicinity or more. So, you know, who wouldn't love that, right? And we all love living in Jacksonville and all that. But from an NFL standpoint, you know, it doesn't appeal to everybody. And I think Trevor's been a good fit here. We talked about that heading into the draft. Would he, being from a small town in Georgia, fit in Jacksonville maybe better than some of these other places? Certainly hasn't hurt his marketing opportunities.
No.
He's got national marketing opportunities. And if he plays more and he gets the Jags into the playoffs consistently, and he is seen collectively by everybody out there as being in that locked-in top 10 tier, they're going to continue to come his way. Anything he wants in his NFL career will be available to him here in Jacksonville.
Yeah. And he gets to do it while being here, which may more fit his style than being in New York or
big
wherever
fish,
it was going to be.
Pond.
Right, like that kind of thing. It may just fit his personality more to be in this kind of area than it would to be in New York, which everyone was freaking out about when the Jags wound up getting the number one pick and, you know, this is the last time you're going to see him and all. It's like, all right, clown. Right, like what else can you do but react that way to those people? Trevor is everywhere. And has been since he got drafted to Jacksonville. That didn't impact him. Now, he may not be able to make the local advertising revenue that he could in a place like New York. He's doing all right.
Right, but, you know, also locally, you're going to spend a lot more of that just living in New York, right?
Absolutely.
And all, beyond all, I just like when he gets up there and he talks about how much he loves being here and he wants to be a Jaguar for a long time.
There's not a whole lot of doubt. Like when Josh Allen said it, it doesn't feel like there's any doubt that he means
it. It's genuine.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can say the right things. Oh, yeah, I want to be here. Love playing it. You know, it does feel genuine to me. And, you know, that in the end, he sees we got a lot of talent in this locker room. You know, I was going back looking at some of the Trent Baalke quotes from earlier in the offseason. Sorry to spoil your morning by mentioning his name, but
I did.
He's
talking tomorrow. Yeah.
And he said, hey, look, you know, we're not this team that won only three games last year. We won nine.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't good enough. We all understand, especially after an 8-3 start, but there's a good core with this football team. We expect to be good. We got a lot of good players already in that locker room. So they get back to work yesterday, and we'll see how that all goes. We'll hear from Trevor Lawrence throughout the course of the morning today. We may mix in a little Foye Luikin, as you mentioned, Baalke going to speak this week. It's going to be a busy week for Jaguar stuff. So we're going to focus on that a little bit more. than we will the draft, which is rapidly approaching.
Yes, it is.
At least today. But I do have an interesting couple of draft scenarios that I came across.
Okay.
As we've talked about, you know, what to do at 17 a ton. What do you do at 8 or 22, Tony, are the questions. Because I found two mocks, one that had the Jags trading into the top 10 mm-hmm. and what they had to give up to get it, and another that had them sliding back five picks as a certain player who was expected to go in the top 10 slid, prompting a market for another team to trade up. Now you may go, well, who's that player? And would we be interested in taking that guy? Well, we'll tell you who that player is, but I'll lay out these scenarios. And you can tell me what you think is more attractive, you know, the accumulation of more picks or that feeling of a little bit of going all in on one guy in mm-hmm. this year's top 10. And, you know, there's been an affection from a certain percentage of the Jaguar fan base for the idea of drafting Roma Dunze and maybe trading up to make that happen, because it looks like you're going to have to trade up to make that happen, despite you still see the occasional stray mock that has him sliding into the mid-teens.
It just, yeah.
There's
yeah.
so many teams right in that range in the late top 10 into the early teens that could – I mean, who couldn't use a guy like that if he's as good as he's going to turn out to be, right?
Yeah.
But the particularly wide receiver needy teams that are sitting there makes it unlikely to think that he's going to get much past single digit picks.
I would be stunned, right? If
I don't think he gets outside of the top 10.
Right.
I think the Jets would take him over yeah. Brock Bowers.
If any of those top three wide receivers were still on the board when the Jags were picking at 17, I would be...
It'd be a shock, unless something happened between now and then that would explain
it. Yeah, it'd have
it, right?
to be a draft day thing
yeah, it'd be
to
some,
kind of explain
like
it.
Injury or off-the-field issue.
Right,
that
like that's like the Josh
about.
Allen situation on steroids to me, right? Because I was very, very sure going into that draft that year, I would love Josh Allen to be the guy for the Jaguars. It's not happening.
Not getting past the Raiders.
Right.
We didn't
like
think.
It's just not happening. And then the Raiders did what they did, and it's like, this might happen. And then Tampa does it, and it's like, holy cow, we're going to get Josh Allen.
Yeah,
like,
or at least we're going to get the chance to take him.
Right.
And we didn't pass it up.
And they did not pass it up, but that would be what the Roma Dunze thing would be to me, again, just times 1,000. Because I can't imagine the scenario that puts him down there unless something happens with – you know, a gas mask. You know, like it
right.
would take something like that.
Well, yeah. And looking at it, you know, just looking at some wide receiver numbers today, the Jags, as I think we're all aware, I don't know if we've talked about it in this context as much as we probably should. Name the list of Jaguar wide receivers that they've drafted that have posted a 1,000-yard season. What do you got?
A-Rob?
A-Rob? Who else you got? You got anybody pockets? Morning pockets.
Cecil posted?
Morning.
No, he was just under
Cecil
it.
Cecil didn't do it.
Yeah, he's just under it. He was like 950.
Cecil did not do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Maybe.
Justin Blackmon?
Justin Blackmon did not do
no.
it.
No.
Came
what?
Up short.
Maybe Marquise.
Marquise was a second rounder.
Yeah.
And he didn't, I don't think he did it either.
Yeah.
I guess it's drafted.
Drafted.
Right. I didn't
yeah.
say first round. Marquise did not do it.
Yeah.
There's only two guys. DJ Chark. DJ had one 1,000-yard season. In the Jaguars' history, they've drafted two guys that have had 1,000-yard
seasons. Not been a
seasons.
Strong position in the draft. For.
Since 95, which is when they started drafting
yes.
players for this organization, they're tied for the fewest 1,000-yard receivers drafted in the National Football League. Three other teams have managed to draft two guys. I mean, two total seasons.
Yeah.
At least that's the way I read it. You know, if you draft one guy, it was like six or eight seasons. Somebody asked me today, if we took Brian Thomas at 17, would I be happy with the career of Brandon Cooks or Chris Godwin? And I went to Brandon Cooks' page first, and I was like, yep.
Yeah.
Yes, I would. And I know Brandon Cooks has bounced around, and he seems like a guy who can't stick in one place for very long. Brandon Cooks has had like 5,000 or 6,000-yard seasons. He has like 9,000-plus yards in
yeah.
his career. How many Jags have 9,000 receiving yards? His name's
one.
Jimmy Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even close. He'd be... by far
yeah.
the second leading receiver in a
yeah,
Jaguar uniform
I'm pretty
all time.
Sure only Jimmy and Keenan have 5,000.
I think Keenan's in the sixth
yeah.
somewhere, but yeah. I mean, so yeah, would I be happy if our first-round pick wide receiver got 9,000 yards in his career in a Jaguar uniform? Now, if he's bouncing around all over the place, no. And they ask, would I be happy with that or would I want more? Well, I always want more.
Yeah.
Give me the 12 grand that Jimmy Smith got. That
I'd
would
like
be
to
better.
Have a guy that has a Hall of Fame caliber that, career. That'd
we'd
be
love
awesome.
That. But if you're telling me we got Brandon Cooks, that's not a bust.
No.
Brandon Cooks a really good player, has been a really good player. I don't understand why he bounced around. Maybe it's a size. Maybe he doesn't. I don't. Maybe it's his personality. I don't know. But in terms of just the production, would I take that? I'd want more. But and his reply was, looking at it, to be fair, you know, maybe Brandon Cooks is a bad example. He was talking about a guy with a high floor, low ceiling. I don't know if 9,000 yards, Brandon Cooks is going to go blowing past 10 grand in his career.
Yeah.
That's, to me, not necessarily that low of a ceiling.
No. And if you extend the list for Jaguars receiving leaders all time and you only include the guys who got 3,000 yards in a Jaguars uniform, you only have to add one name to Jimmy and Keenan. Mercedes. That's the list.
That they that played in a Jaguar uniform. That,
and had over 3,000 yards receiving.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Mojo, by the way, is fourth on that list.
Wow.
With 2,873. Then Allen Robinson is fifth.
Hey, Jimmy Smith had 9 1,000-yard seasons for the Jags. I'd certainly prefer that. But,
that'd be amazing. Yeah.
You know, Brandon Cooks is not chopped liver. I don't know, man. The more we get close to the draft, the more I think it won't be a receiver if they stay at 17. But that's just a gut feeling. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to give you that. I'm getting a sense from inside the building or anything like that. Let me look at Cooks here real quick and see if you agree with this. 1,100 in year two, 1,173 in year three. Nearly 1,100 in year four, 1,200 in year five. Had an off year in 2019, only had 583. Then bounced back with 1,150, then 1,037. Last couple years, 699, 657. As, like, Brandon Cooks is like, I guess he's like the two behind CeeDee Lamb. He's kind of the co-two with Michael Gallup a little bit last year in Dallas. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I would take that all day long.
Yeah. And look, Chris Godwin's got 4 1,000-yard receiving seasons.
All right. So would I take,
including the last three in a row.
Cooks has six. So would you take a guy who gets 5 1,000-yard seasons? I would.
I would, too.
I would, absolutely. I mean, how many guys, like we said, they drafted two players that have had a single 1,000-yard season in the history of the franchise.
Yeah.
The history. Point at Balky, point at all of them. By the way, they're both Dave Caldwell picks. So there you go. Thank you, Dave, for your wonderful brilliance in player evaluation. All right. I do like Dave, but not necessarily all the picks he made. All right. So today we're asking you a simple question. Fill in the blank today. In 5 years, Trevor Lawrence will blank. All right. As long as the sentence makes sense, fill it in with whatever you want. Still be tall. All right. Yes, he will. All right. Fantastic. That is accurate. Whatever you feel you want to put in that blank that you think is going to be an accurate statement, let us know. And we're going to hear from your quarterback a lot today on the program. John Osher also going to be along from Jaguars.com. And I'll throw those two trade scenarios, one moving up, one moving back. What is more appealing to Tony Smith and you, Jaguar Nation, out there? I'll lay them out for you when we return in a moment. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark here with you 8 days out from the 2024 NFL Draft. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Awaken 180 Weight Loss. So happy to talk about these folks every single day. I love when I come across a product or a company or a service that does exactly what they promise to do. Those are the kind of folks that I like supporting, and that is what Awaken 180 absolutely is. They promised me I'd lose 4 to 5 pounds a week on average. Well, I started out with 9.6 in the first week, but you have some ups and downs, but they stick with you, and they tailor their already time-tested methodology to your lifestyle, right? Everybody needs a few little tweaks. We get up at different times. We work different schedules. They worked with me, and Awaken 180 got me the results I was looking for, not only losing the weight, but keeping it off all the way since last September. How do you get started? Well, call 844-346-1800. Whether you need to lose 10, 50, 100 or more pounds, it doesn't matter. 844-346-1800 will work for you. You'll lose the weight. You'll keep it off with free support for life from Awaken 180, online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, we'll get to Trevor Lawrence speaking yesterday along with Foye Aluikun if we have time for that today. If not, well, we're here every day, at least weekdays, so we will endeavor to bring you some of those thoughts, at least a select few from the Jaguars starting quarterback and middle linebacker. But, Tony, I did find at ProFootballNetwork.com. Pumps out, if you want mock drafts, they got like 17 guys doing them.
There we go. There,
right? Yeah. Like every day you get one, two, three of them, multiple rounds, whatever. They get 7-round mocks, 3-round mocks, 1-round mocks, whatever you like. So some of them, they do trade. Some of them, they don't. So be it. We've seen an occasional trade-up scenario for the Jags. Haven't really seen too many trade-back scenarios, though, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So caught my eye. So first of all, let me give you the trade-up. This is from a 1-round mock, so we don't know what would have happened beyond this anyway, okay?
Okay.
But here's where we go at the top of the draft. Pretty straightforward here. You go Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3. Fine, okay? Marvin Harrison goes to Arizona. Joe Alt goes to the Chargers, right? Okay. Which could happen.
Yeah.
Especially some, you know, somebody doesn't jump up and trade into that spot. Malik Nabers goes to the Giants. They're top three going to be off the board here in a second. Olu Fashanu out of Penn State, the offensive tackle, goes to Tennessee. The Jags are like, that's it. We're going to make our move. Bold move time.
Okay.
Going to go get us some Roma Dunze. Okay. What do you think the price is to get to 8?
I mean, I would assume 17 and at least the second next year. What else? Is there something added in there?
17, 48, 153. That's your fifth.
Yeah.
And your second next year.
Yeah.
You paying that? Because remember, at 9, 17 and 48 is an overpay based on the chart, meaning you should be getting like a seventh rounder back. This sounds to me like there's going to be a market for a Dunze, and this is going to be the price. You don't want to pay it? Don't pay it. But would you pay this price for Roma Dunze? 17th pick, your second rounder this year and next year, and a fifth rounder on top of that. That seems steep to me.
That's a lot.
But if you want him, that may be what it takes. These bold moves up the board, you know, especially if it's perceived that he's the last of a tier of guys, and as good as Brian Thomas or Adonai Mitchell or any of these other guys may be, they're not going to be Roma Dunze, if that's how you feel.
Same prospect. Yeah.
If that's how you feel, Edwards. All right, so that's one side. I'll let you think about that, okay?
Yeah.
That's a pretty big investment that you're giving up. The chance to get a 48 pick this year, your second rounder next year is already off the board. It's a lot. So we go through this other one, also at Pro Football Network. A little bit different person doing it. Got Caleb Williams at 1. Got Jaden Daniels at 2. Got Drake May at 3. Wait a minute. It's an exact copy. No, it's not. Here's Minnesota trading up to get J.J. McCarthy.
Yep.
11-23 and a 2025 first-round pick. So three rounders for J.J. McCarthy. Whoever needs to read this, who thinks Trevor Lawrence would be available for less than that?
Yeah.
Mike.
No.
Come on, Mike.
That would not be Terrence. That would be our Friday co-host right there. Yeah, I'm just going to throw that one out there when last I spoke with him. All right. Marvin Harrison then goes to the Chargers. Okay. Giants still take Malik Nabers. Tennessee takes Joe Alt.
Okay.
Falcons are said to really love Liatu Latu, right?
Okay.
The UCLA edge rusher. And in fact, in the mock where they traded back with the Jags, that's who they took at 17.
Okay.
Okay. In this, they take him at 8.
Okay.
At 9, Jared Verse goes to the Bears. Olu Fashanu goes to the Jets. Damn it, there's a Dunze. Falls right to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
So the Cardinals trade out. Get three first-round picks. Instead of taking Marvin Harrison Jr., they get a Dunze and two additional first-round picks all day. All day. I mean, you talk about winning the draft. Dang it. Couldn't get it done. Oh, Terry and Arnold off the board at 12. That's one of our targets.
Yes, he is.
Quinyon Mitchell goes at 13. There are our top two cornerback prospects off the board, Tony. J.C. Latham out of Alabama. Oh, Brock Bowers was sliding, but the Colts grab him. There goes Byron Murphy at 16. Did you notice the name I skipped in any of that?
No.
Dallas Turner.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the Falcons are said to love Latu, and Verse goes right behind him. So in this scenario, Turner slides. You're going to be saying, oh, Turner's not going to slide. People slide in the draft, right?
Yeah.
It's not like he's being talked about as a top three pick. He's in that 8-9 range. Could he slide to 17? In the scenario he does, he slides, and Philadelphia loves drafting pass rushers, right? So Philly has picked 22, and they realize that Dallas Turner is on the board. Now, the Jags could take Dallas Turner, okay? They could take a lot of guys that are still on the board there. Offensive tackles, Brian Thomas is still there. You don't have your top two cornerbacks, though, available to you. So, in this deal, Philadelphia to move up from 22 to 17 gives the Jags pick 53, but you don't get to keep just 53. You got to even it out on the back end, and you got to send 96 and 114 back to Philadelphia. So you're dropping five spots in the first round to take 96 and 114 to jump to 53, which you'd never be able to do. Mm-hmm. 114 doesn't close the gap between 96 and 53. It might get you to 90, right? Yeah. It's not going to get you anywhere close to the 53rd pick. So you would now have 22, 48, 53, no third round pick, and only that one fourth round pick. Okay? Is that worth it?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think the value is worth it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It would depend on what's on the board at that point, but
well, what's on the board is what's on the board. Here, yeah. Dallas Turner is available. Here are the next handful of picks that come up. Brian Thomas.
Okay.
We would have been okay with that.
Yep.
Amarius Mims.
Okay.
Don't know how we feel about that. Tali Fuanga, probably pretty good about that, right? Mm-hmm. These offensive tackles, that's at 20. Troy Faletanu, so if you're hoping for offensive tackle, they all go bam, bam, bam. I mean, would that board staring you in the face, though, it'd be tough not to take that deal, right?
Yeah.
And then at 22, the Jags take Cooper DeJean out of Iowa.
Yeah.
So they get probably if they're going to take corner and sit there at 17, they get the guy they're going to take anyway. If they're going corner,
yeah.
Right? And what they did then, I'll give you their second round selection so you can have a better sense of what they did with their capital in this mock. They went Malachi Corley, the Western Michigan wide receiver, at 48. So they address corner and wide receiver, whether you think that's the right receiver. You know, I can't help you. And then they took Michael Hall Jr., the Ohio State defensive tackle. That to me, like, I feel like if I want a D-tackle, could I get a run-stuffing D-tackle at 96? You know, I don't know if that's juicy enough, the player that I'm getting. Is that maybe I don't know enough about Michael Hall Jr., too. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Which appeals to you more, making the big swing for a Dunze or adding the extra? And keep it in mind, you're keeping your second-round pick. Now, so right. You don't have a Dunze. You have Cooper DeJean. Forget about who they took in the second round. You could have a Dunze and not pick again to 96. Or you could have Cooper DeJean and not have a second rounder next year. Or you could have Cooper DeJean, have two second rounders this year, a second rounder next year, but lose your late third and a fourth this year. What's the better deal?
I'd probably prefer the trade back.
I think that's the better team building
deal.
It may not be the fan choice
deal.
You know what I mean? Like that you get an alpha wide receiver for your young quarterback. And here's the thing. If Adunze becomes a star and DeJean's just a good player and these other guys are good players, you see what star receivers go for, right?
Sure.
The $30 million a year guys, right? I mean, I'm not saying corners can't get up to that, but it's more, you know, more immediately whether that receiver is that kind of guy.
Absolutely. I think we've had enough of the conversations about what it would take to trade into, you know, that 8 to 10 range, specifically the bottom end of that. You know, if you're targeting a guy like a Dunze, and I'm completely comfortable giving up 17 and second round pick this year to do it. The addition of second round pick next year and the fifth.
Like
the combination of all that, it's like, whoa.
The fifth is like, to me, is like window dressing.
It is, but that's the...
Of course, it could be Antonio Johnson.
Right. Like, hang on a second. Like, that's when it's... I understand being in love with the player and the prospect, like all those things, and I wouldn't lose my mind if that's the deal they wound up making on draft day. I'd be like, they
bold
have
move.
Targeted this guy. This is the one.
Bold move.
You know, like they're circling this as the guy they want.
I mean, Adunze, Kirk, Davis, Zay as your fourth?
Absolutely.
And Ingram as your pass catching
crew? There's a lot
crew?
To like about that.
There's a lot to like about that, right? But at the same time, there could be a lot to like about substitute Adunze for Brian Thomas and then take a guy at 48 and take a guy in the second round next year and combine that all together, what's better for your football team, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like it reminds me a little bit, and not everyone's saying this, but there are a few still saying whatever it takes, got to go get one of those top three receivers, whatever it takes. Well, I feel like we're in a bit of a time loop with the Josh Allen thing. Whatever he wants, pay him whatever he wants. Well, in the end, Balke actually got a pretty good deal out of this. Like, Josh Allen's deal doesn't hit that $30 million unless he's hitting 17 and a half sacks every year.
Yeah.
It's really more like a $28.5 million a year deal. Trent Baalke actually got a pretty good deal on this deal, but in the timing of it, was unable to use the franchise tag on Calvin Ridley, right?
Yeah.
So, but would he have been better using the franchise tag on Calvin Ridley and giving Josh Allen $33 million a year?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that. Time will tell.
Yeah,
right?
It is. You know, we've talked so much about coming out of the Josh Allen deal, and they finally land one of these guys who feels like a cornerstone franchise guy, and you offer him that kind of contract, and they say yes, and you had so many guys who said no. You know, Allen Robinson said no. And if Allen Robinson had continued to play at a high level, right, like if they play at the level that they have been playing, that this is why we want to pay you, is if you play at this level, Josh Allen said, you want to give me what? And if I play at that level, you're going to pay me.
I'm going to give a little extra?
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the first one that said yes, not that he was getting underpaid.
Right, not that
team.
Allen Robinson was offered $28.5 million
on
the low end.
But he was given a really fair contract offer. He said no.
Considering
and that's
he was coming off a torn ACL.
Right, like that's his prerogative, and it's worked out the way that it has for him. Unique, it didn't matter what they offered him. Yon wasn't coming back.
Right.
He didn't want to have anything to do with being a member
of
this franchise.
That's his prerogative, but it also cost him millions of dollars.
It's that Josh is the first one to say,
Josh loves
cool.
it. Yeah. Trevor loves it.
Yeah.
He's going to take that bag eventually. I'm very confident. I have zero doubt that sometime in the next 15 months, at the long end, right? It could come this summer for sure, the next 3 months, whatever. But by the end of next summer, Trevor Lawrence is going to have signed a long-term deal. I'm quite confident in that. Mm-hmm. Today, we're asking you something a little bit different. 5 years from now, Trevor Lawrence will blank. That's your question today, presented by Chad and Sandy Real Estate. You can hit us up on the phone lines, text line, Designed by Lifetime Enclosures phone lines, the Oprah Roofing phone lines, or in the YouTube chat, or, of course, on social media as well. @MD_1010XL, @1010XL, Fat Tony, and @1010XL, Denmark.
I can't go to the strip club if I want to go to the strip club.
Wow. Yeah, a new one in their pocket.
I don't got nothing else, man.
What? All right. Total blanking on this one.
This is the news. Yeah.
This was yesterday, man.
Yeah,
I didn't see it.
What happened?
Oh, man. So the news goes out, and they interview Antonio Brown on Southside Boulevard at the Wawa. And
Antonio Brown, not
the Antonio
right.
Brown, just a
well,
Antonio Brown.
Well, he thinks
Brown.
He's the Antonio Brown. Yeah, that's fine. Okay,
so,
Antonio Brown's being
so
interviewed.
So he's just talking about the gas prices, and it's getting out of control, and he dropped those two sound bites.
Give me those sound bites back. Hey, Antonio, how you feel about the price of gas these days?
I don't got nothing else, man.
Well, I understand, but what about the price?
I can't go to the strip club if I want to go to the strip club.
All right.
He said scales are like $5 now. Oh, my God. It was so funny.
All right. Well, Pockets has a new alter ego out there. So, you know, I need to be looped in sometimes. That's all. You know, I spent 3 hours of my life watching the Yankees lose a one-run game last night. I was oblivious to the world outside of that. All right. So let's get to the quarterback next. Trevor Lawrence speaking yesterday. Let's hear from some of the selected answers he gave to the questions posed by the local media. And Johnny O coming up at the top of the hour. He'll spend hour two with us as we near the NFL draft, just 8 days away. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Dylan Denmark here with you. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL.
It's been good. It's been really good. It's been nice. You know, physically being able to get healthy and kind of get back in the swing of things. Been able to travel a little bit, do some stuff, and now we're back rolling. It comes quick, but just excited to be back, obviously, with the guys that were here and some of the new guys in here. So it's exciting to get everybody back together.
We got new guys. We're excited. Tony, I'm excited to be back with you in Pockets this week. You know, after a couple of days off, I feel refreshed and renewed. I wasn't healthy until Monday. But I'm back. The voice is strong. Now, Trevor Lawrence said he wasn't healthy until March. I believe him. You know, like, fully healthy. He was healthy enough to play.
Yeah.
but obviously at times not healthy enough to practice. And I do think, look, you can look at it as excuses or not. And Tom McManus will speak for himself, and he does it very well every Friday with us. But I know Tom, I'm not trying to put words in his mouth. I think it's pretty clear when you look at what he has to say. Trevor needs to be better. He needs to be better. I think we all agree with that, but I don't think by saying he was impacted by a multitude of injuries last year is an excuse. It is a reality. You know, if you're out there and if you are a sprinter, if you're Usain Bolt, and you've got a twinge in your hamstring, and it knocks 0.2 off your 100-meter time,
mm-hmm.
Is it an excuse? Sure, but is it also a reason? Yeah, however you want to define it. So nobody's saying that Trevor Lawrence doesn't need to improve.
No.
He absolutely needs to improve. But
no,
he addressed that.
Yeah, he addressed that yesterday.
Absolutely.
You know, he was asked specifically about, does he regret playing through it?
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said, no, not really. You know, I don't regret it. But he did acknowledge at least that, you know, it may have affected the team. I don't know. But I think it's my job to go play when I can play. That's essentially the way he answered.
He was asked, as you mentioned, does he regret the fact that he played through injury the way he did last year?
I don't regret necessarily the decisions I made. I think the thing to learn about it is maybe the way I play, maybe there's some times where I can avoid some hits. You just got to stay healthy. You know, the teams that get better every week and that stay healthy are usually the teams that go pretty far and into the playoffs and win the Super Bowl. So, especially at quarterback, you got to stay healthy. So that's something I've learned.
Let's be clear about this. Trevor Lawrence not going to take himself out of these games.
No.
Right? So, yes, he can protect himself better, right? He can get down, slide a little bit more, be more aware generally of his surroundings. But you got to take hits, man. This is a violent game. You're going to get blown up from time to time.
Shoulder injury was enough that he couldn't play for a week.
Absolutely, right? So the team is going to be the group that they need to protect Trevor, and they need to decide now. Is Trevor Lawrence playing without practice at risk of not being as sharp as we need him to be now that we've gone and traded for Mac Jones? We've got a viable alternative because Lawrence said, if I can play, I'm going to be out there.
If I can play and I feel like I'm not hurting the team, and maybe some weeks I did, you know, but I feel like I did the best I could and went out there, and I would expect the same of my teammates. So if I expect that from guys and late in the season to play and play through some stuff, it's football, you're going to have to, then I have to do the same. And I felt like that's what I was doing. And so, no, I think it's the biggest thing is just getting my body to a point where I can withstand a lot of these hits or whatever it is, but also limiting some of them as much as I can. So it's a balance of all that.
Our boy getting a little yoke too now, right? I mean, that's part of it, right? He's trying to put on some good weight, some muscle mass that can help him withstand while, you know, keeping the flexibility and all that that you want to be able to play with.
Yeah, and I am very solidly on if Trevor Lawrence is able to play. Like, it would have to be bad for him to not be able to play in a given week. I'm willing to put Trevor out there. Right.
At this point, right.
Right.
But,
and I think he does a whole lot more to help you than he does to hurt you, even if he's playing hurt.
But what if let's say he's out there and he hasn't practiced for 2 weeks. In the last two games, he's completed, it hasn't been terrible. He's completed maybe 58% of his passes, right? And he just really not helping you in the run game because he has to stay in the pocket more to protect himself. You know what I mean? Like, it's a fine line of determining, is that better than the alternative that we have ready to come in. Clearly, last year they thought it was better than the alternative.
I don't dispute that it may be a fine line, but it's a fine line that it almost has to be a definite line for me, right? With Trevor Lawrence, the shoulder was enough to say, all right, if he needs to miss a week, he needs to miss a week.
It's impacting your ability to throw the ball.
Right, but there was no other time during last season where I was like, why are they playing him?
Yeah.
Like, I never had that thought when I was watching Trevor Lawrence play, and if they're getting him ready for these games, and they're going into the warm-ups and doing all that, and they're like, it looks like Trevor.
But was that because you didn't have confidence in C.J. Beathard to come in and do the job?
No.
Okay.
It's because I have that confidence in Trevor.
But his performance absolutely waned.
It did.
In the last quarter of the season, right?
Right.
So we can have the confidence.
I don't dispute that, but I think that's kind of what he's pointing to there, is that he's not denying that the performance may have waned with him having to play through all those things, But I also don't think the team is anywhere close to a point where what he dealt with last year is going to be this season. Let's get the other guy in. Like, I just don't think they look at Trevor Lawrence that way, and neither do I.
And it may not be the case, but and I do love the fact that you got a quarterback that is, if I can walk out to under center,
yeah.
I'm going to be out there. You got to stop me from doing it. You'd much rather have that
100%
than a guy who goes, I don't feel right today. You know, yeah. Like there are plenty of times I wish Blake Bortles had come to the sideline and gone, have you seen me warm up today?
It's a little breezy, guys.
I think we all agree. The wind is howling out there. Blake, it's perfectly still. We're playing in a dome today. Mm-hmm. Are you sure that the door's not open somewhere? All right. This is a big question. Mm-hmm. All right. Who's calling the plays?
Yeah.
All right. There's been some, I don't know, general assumption because Doug Peterson hasn't been ultimately definitive on how it's going to end up, that it's going to go back to Doug Peterson. At least that's been the wish from Jaguar fandom. Trevor Lawrence doesn't seem to see it that way. He was asked if he knows who's going to call plays and who does he expect it to be, and we'll combine those answers so you can listen in.
I mean, whichever way that goes, we're gonna make the most of it, and it's going to be great. I don't know. I haven't had any conversations about, you know, anything necessarily changing or staying the same. So I don't really know. I'm with you guys, but we've had success with both guys calling the plays in the past. And even last year, obviously, we could have been better offensively, but we did have some success. And I do like the continuity, the consistency that I have with press. I know him really well. You know, I think that's a good thing that we're keeping that intact, because it's hard as a quarterback to change. I like where we're at, and I think that we've made some really necessary changes this offseason already, and now we just got to implement them and get great at it. You know, I think it's about creating an identity and being really good at what we do, and I think we have a clear vision and picture of what that is, and I'm excited, you know, and I'm expecting it to be press at this point, because that's kind of the direction we've been heading and what I expect, and I'm not hearing anything. So that's where we're going, and I'm excited for it.
I do want to know. Mm-hmm. At what point last year was Trevor told that Press Taylor's taking over full-time play-calling duties? You know what I mean? Like, how much lead time do you need to give your quarterback? Obviously, you want to involve him in every important decision, or at least inform him as soon as possible. But, like, hey, Trev, you know, you're going to get a play call in your ear, whether it's Doug or Press. You know, now maybe you want to know that early so you can work a little bit more closely with that guy and make sure you've got the right input into what kind of plays you like. Hey, I'm not really feeling this one. We're not running this well. Let's take this one off the sheet this week. But I would think, like, if this is decided that Doug Peterson is saying, you know what, if I'm going to go down, I'm going down swinging. And play calling is one thing I do very well, and it's going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
I think your franchise quarterback would be among the first to know that, right?
Yeah.
So my guess is they haven't decided that. I'm not saying it's impossible that Doug Peterson will decide to do that or at some point take it over, even if they start out with Press Taylor being the guy. But
I think Trevor's answer at least is the first time we've heard anything that maybe taps the brakes on.
Yes,
Doug
that's
Peterson.
What I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, if it's Doug, it's news to me.
Yeah.
Well,
like, it's the first time we've heard anyone since it made it sound like Doug was at least seriously considering
yes.
it. You know, he didn't
and
say
don't
one way or
we don't
want
to burn Press to the ground here early in the offseason.
Right, and so there was a lot of excitement among the fan base of, all right, Doug's calling the plays. Like, that was the reaction.
Right. Never mind the fact that 2 years ago, they basically split it, and Press did a lot of good work.
The second halves were better than the first halves offensively for the team.
So, you know, but when you do have a change like that and things aren't going the way, and remember, last year we all thought, offense going to carry the defense, right? And it didn't start out that way. Well, what's different? What's different, Tony? Oh, other than Marvin Jones being gone, we got Calvin Ridley. That should be an upgrade. So it's got to be Press Taylor. I'm not saying Press Taylor didn't have faults, right?
Certainly did.
Any first-time, full-time play caller is going to have some, but it absolutely sounds like the quarterback. Now, what is he going to say? I would think if you didn't like the way it went last year with that, that would have been communicated privately anyway. Trevor Lawrence is not going to wait until April and get up at a press conference and go, by the way, this has been nagging at me, right?
Here's how I feel.
Here's how this bothered me. I didn't say anything, but now that it's April, let's bring this up. So
now that I've had some time to reflect on all of it.
Should we, as people that want the Jaguars to excel, should we just accept that, hey, if Trevor's good with it, we should be good with it? Or do we think, well, Trevor's Trevor, and he's not going to throw Press under the bus, and Trevor's going to try to make the best out of whatever the situation is?
I think you can react to that however you
whatever
want
fits
to.
Your narrative.
Yeah, like yeah. however you want to. I think Trevor is a savvy enough public guy that when he gets asked that kind of question, he knows the politically correct answer is they can both do the job really well. I like what we've done the last couple of years.
Been great.
I'm looking forward to 2024.
Yes.
Like, that's the correct answer from the quarterback if no one else is going to give the definitive answer.
It could also be the real answer.
Right,
though.
Like, he's not the guy to give whatever the real answer is.
But it could be. Like, if you felt
if he had been told the real answer, you know.
And he's like, I really didn't think it was on Press. I could have thrown it better. Sure, he called some bad plays, but I made some bad throws, Ridley ran some bad routes, or this guy had some drops, or that guy did whatever. And sure, you know, it's all these things. But that was, I thought, about as newsworthy of as anything. It's not definitive, but it's a strong lean that's the direction that they're going, at least to open up the offseason.
Press Taylor is going to have a lot to do with what they do.
Obviously.
On offense.
Right, but will he have the ultimate down-by-down say?
We'll
at the
see.
Moment, it appears.
Yeah.
But you know, subject to change, right? It changed in one direction. It can change in the other direction. We've seen coaches do that. Team gets on a losing streak. That's it.
We got to do something.
I got to put it on me.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to take it. And let's hope it doesn't take a losing streak. We're going 17-0 is what I heard this year. You ready to up your ante this year from 16-1?
I doubt it.
I'm going to say I doubt it as well. John Osier from Jaguars.com, the senior writer, joins us next to discuss all things Jaguars. If you want to get in and weigh in on anything you've heard this morning or anything that's on your mind Jaguar-related, 641-1010 on the All-Pro Roofing phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Oh, no's with Jaguars.com's John Osher, brought to you by
Kingfish Pest Control, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars
on 1010XL.
All right, another hour to go here on Jaguars Today. This morning, we'll go until noon. Helmets and Heels coming up after that. XL Primetime, the Franchi Show, and on we go throughout the day here on 1010XL. It is Wednesday. John Osher has arrived from Jaguars.com. Greetings, John.
Guys, how are you?
We're well. How are you?
Just trying to get adjusted here. New seat.
Is it a new seat?
New straight back seat. So.
Oh, you don't have to. I mean, we have other ones. They switch all the time. I don't know. Everyone has their own personal preference as to what chair they use.
Yeah, the broken ones over there in the corner.
Yeah. So
I think Dempsey's probably a don't sit in my chair guy.
No, I'm like, so much, I want the, you know, I think
ones?
They're all the, yeah, I prefer one that's not broken, but
sure.
Yeah, I'm not that picky about it, you know.
Okay.
I don't want one that's a low rider. You know, I don't want to be sitting just off the ground, even though I'm tall enough to see over the counter.
I was laying down in here.
So it happens, man. You know,
really
you were exhausted,
nice.
Though, from all the Q&A, the mailbag writing.
All the pre-draft speculation.
So what did you hear from Trevor that stood out to you yesterday?
You know, I think the fact that, you know, it took till mid-March to really feel right. Wasn't surprising. Sort of confirmed, I think, that he was really beat up. He sort of echoed what Doug said at the owners' meetings, the combine or whatever, in that there's clearly a focus, and I think it's going to be beaten in all off-season, of not only the team needs to protect, and he needs to focus on protecting himself, needs, you know, whatever that entails, getting rid of the ball, not playing hero ball, whatever, being a little better at that. Because I think everybody saw the need that the starting quarterback needs to be practicing the last 6 weeks of the season. So I think that's a theme of theirs. As far as the contract stuff, which was obviously big, you know, relatively news, I think most people knew they'd been talking. He'd like to get it done. The rest of it sort of sounded like things that you say when you're starting a negotiation. There wasn't really any huge news, I don't think, but
it just seemed to me like, Tony, on the contract front, like, it's going to happen. You know, like, sure, if we can get it done this summer, great, but
there's not a whole lot of
really
drama.
It's not, right, I'm not going to change the way I prepare or focus, or it's not going to be something lingering over my head. That's not what I took away from it.
And I think that's the vibe you get from the times that, you know, Trent has talked about it, which isn't much in sort of the early lob questions, I would call them, this offseason of where you had on Trevor. It's been more of a, you know, it's, you know,
look, we all wanted Trevor to go 14-3 every year as a starter or better, right? But despite the disappointing way the season ended last year, it has helped architect back-to-back winning seasons for the first time in a long time for this franchise. And so, John, they've got a number one overall pick quarterback who, while he may not have rewritten all the NFL record books, is still a very promising player with a lot of experience under his belt at the age of 24. He wants to be here.
Right.
You know, and I really, and Tony and I were talking about this, seems genuine. Like Josh Allen genuinely wanted
thinking
that.
About the weeds of this, right? Like, oh, he wasn't this, he wasn't this at this time. But the point you just made, I think, is the big picture. Both sides want to get it done. You know, I always use the analogy. Look, I know Trevor has flaws right now, but I also don't want to be the guy standing in the parking lot watching him drive off for the last time.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. So, and I don't think he'd be any at the worst. I think he'd go second in this draft at the worst. I can understand. Caleb Williams, his upside is huge, right? And I can
He might not go second. He might still go first.
He might.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Right. At worst,
right.
I think he goes second. We saw a proposed mock trade with Minnesota coming up to get J.J. McCarthy, right? At like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
They had to give their two firsts and their first next year. That's three firsts for J.J. McCarthy, who has yet to throw a pass in the NFL. At least you have a sense.
And he has major questions.
Right. I mean, Trevor is not perfect. There's no question about it. But, man, at 24 years old, there are a lot of teams that would like the chance to build around that guy.
But you've also maybe seen the floor, and the floor is not bad.
It's not atrocious. Right. It's not catastrophic, right? It's like, can't we be better? But, you know, Peyton Manning, and we've used him as an example. What was it, ninth year when he won his first Super Bowl?
Yeah. You know, and my first year covering him was 2001, which was his fourth year. And that was the year that
the down year, yeah.
Yeah, he threw four picks against San Francisco, and Mora came in and lost his marbles over the playoffs.
Right, we're not saying you have to, as Jag fans, just saying, oh, we're going to stink for the next half decade or whatever. No, I mean, it may never happen, but it could happen this year. You just, you don't know. I don't know. The play calling Tony and I were talking about certainly seems like Press Taylor, in Trevor's mind, he's like, I haven't been told anything. At least that's what he's – so – did this get by the fact that Doug Peterson didn't definitively come out and say we're going to run it back exactly the same way? Did people run too much with that, or do you think this is still something that's in a state of flux?
You know, there's part of me that I don't know that Doug sees it as big of an issue as everybody else, because I do think he looks at it and says Press and I call games the same way. We're in lockstep. All the stuff we've talked about. So I think Doug, when he was asked. The first time he said it was at the Combine, which was, late February. He clearly had time to think about it, but I think he gave an honest answer of, you know, I haven't really decided yet. And I don't think he thinks it's something he has to decide tomorrow. So I would be surprised if Doug goes a different direction, because I think he believes that whatever was, quote, wrong with the offense – I don't think he thought for a minute that it was Press Taylor's play call. So if he doesn't think that, I don't know that he's going to, quote, reverse field. I don't have a great insight into that, but that's how it feels.
It did feel like Trevor is willing to point out the problems that he does have in his game, right? And he may not point them out specifically, but the staying healthy, you know, live for the next play, all these different kind of things that are going on. How does a player get better at those kind of things at this point in an off season that you can carry over into actually playing football?
You know, that's part of it. The other part that he said right after the season was he knows he has to get better at turnovers. He knows he has to not give the ball up in the pocket. I think that's more of an issue with the team than the interceptions. The interceptions sort of ballooned a little bit after the injuries last year, but it's the not protecting the ball in the pocket. It concerns him more. Right now, I think it's just like when you were a student in class. You just study it. You study it. You beat it into your head. You beat it into your head. And then each game you play moving forward, you try to get a little bit better at it. You try to, okay, this is what we talked about. It's in your head. I never have believed that that much that you do in on May 1st in unpadded work translates that much into real time, but you can get it, again, to where it's something you emphasize. And every NFL coach will tell you, if you emphasize it in practice, you see it in the game. So that's really all you can do for us to sit here and predict how it'll play out. Come talk to us week one, right? I mean, that's – I wish I had a better answer, but you'll just emphasize it all off-season.
Wouldn't you be better coming to you after week one to see how
maybe during week one, maybe halftime.
My halftime of week one.
Text me.
All right. How's it going so far?
Hey, what's up?
You know, what's up, John? So? I'm just going to send you so? Question mark.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a huge topic. I just don't know how maybe you can get better at it during OTAs of having drills where you escape the pocket. But that to me feels like a real-time thing that you've got to learn when it's real.
All right, let's come back and talk more about Trevor Lawrence and the offseason program here a little bit from Foye Luikin as well as he spoke yesterday. And you have your question of the day presented by Chad and Sandy Real Estate that's out there for you if you'd like to weigh in. It's a simple one, simple fill in the blank. In 5 years, Trevor Lawrence will blank. However you see fit to answer that, send us your reply. Primarily at MD_1010XL, but hit up at 1010XL Fat Tony and at 1010XL Denmark as well. And you can always hop in the All Pro Roofing phone lines with a text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010 with John Ogier of Jaguars.com. This is Jaguars Today rolling on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All aboard!
Oh, noes.
With Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Brought to you by
Kingfish Pest Control, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars on 1010XL.
All right, coming up, we'll run through those trade-up, trade-down scenarios that I ran past Tony there. Your final answer was, well, if you had to choose one, trade back, right?
Trade back, yep.
Okay. Based on those specific scenarios that were laid out there. We'll go around the league here in a couple minutes, hear from Foye Luikin. That seems like a lot to do on this program. But first, we'll go to Steve in Nocatee and find out what's on his mind at 641-1010. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. What's good up, buddy?
Good. I was just responding back to the question on Gabbert. Trevor Lawrence, the five-year, where will he be?
Yes.
You know, I was all on board with Trevor, but, you know, unfortunately, I feel like he's going to be similar to what Gabbert is doing, a backup, trying to vying for a backup position in the NFL. I hope I'm wrong. Please, I hope I'm wrong, but we'll see. Thoughts on that?
I think you're crazy, personally. I don't think Blake Gabbert had shown nothing and still has shown nothing in terms of being a competent starting quarterback in the National Football League.
We were doing shows every week after games where, you know, it's like, you remember that play? I think he's coming in.
One play. Yeah. Right. We had a former co-host of ours who loved to watch him complete one pass over the middle. I think it's clicking now. Yeah. I think it's starting to click with this guy.
It's like, that's what you were holding on to with that guy. Trevor is so far above that. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's what here are the yardage totals for Blaine Gabbert at this similar stage of his career. He had thrown for 2,214 yards in his first year. His second year, he followed up with 1,600, and then he polished off a quick 481 in year three with the Jags. So you think Trevor Lawrence's trajectory is putting him on that path?
Yeah,
it's very interesting.
I don't know where Trevor will be in 5 years in terms of starting quarterbacks, but I would be very surprised if he's a backup.
Yeah, I mean, is he Freudian slipping? Did he Gabbert because we've had disappointment? Obviously, it was clear he's trying to say, oh, he's just Gabbert 2.0, and that's fine. You're entitled to feel that way if you want to. I mean, I think you're crazy, but that's fine. You're not the first person I think is crazy. Blaine Gabbert in his career has 9,400 passing yards. He'll hit that 10,000 mark, I'm sure, if he hangs around long enough. It'll be fine.
That's what it's right.
I mean, come on. So there. I think we've spent more than enough time on that. And look, could Trevor Lawrence flame out and be? It won't be because, like, by this time, Blaine Gabbert's already a backup. He's not a guy anymore. His career with the Jaguars was ending.
Right.
It was over.
And he went where?
He He went to San Fran a pennies for like a sixth round pick just to dump him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right now, that was the stage he was at. He was getting dumped now, this offseason, in their similar careers.
Yep.
After throwing for less than 500 yards.
Yeah, I understand the trepidation on the listener's part of not knowing what Trevor's going to be. I don't think he's going to be that.
Yeah,
better than that.
Yeah. way better than that. But that's my opinion. You don't have to agree with it. As Terrence put it, you know, in our question of the day,
in
5 years, Trevor Lawrence will blank be a Winnipeg Blue Bomber, is what he put. So at least I bet he starts for him, though. Come on now.
He'll start for the Blue Bombers, won't he?
Yeah. That'll fulfill the promise. All right, let's let Tony take us around the rest of the National Football League.
Now, Gems Around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
According to head coach Shane Steichen, Indianapolis quarterback Anthony Richardson is in a really good spot, should be good to go for practices as he continues to recover from that shoulder surgery. Cleveland quarterback Deshaun Watson is throwing full speed, according to head coach Zach Johnson at The Athletic, with the expectation that Watson will definitely be ready for training camp and should be able to participate in the team's OTAs this year. Detroit left tackle Taylor Decker said on Tuesday that he had foot and ankle surgery already in this offseason, that he was able to begin working out again in February. Decker did say that he was happy with the decision to get the surgery and that he is feeling really good. Miami Dolphins GM Will Grier said on Tuesday that the team will be exercising the fifth-year options on wide receiver Jalen Waddle and linebacker Jalen Phillips. And Denver wide receiver Cortland Sutton was not in attendance for the Broncos offseason program beginning on Monday. Tom Pelissero said that Sutton does not seem to have any plans to participate in the Broncos' voluntary portion of the offseason as he seeks to get a new deal done with the team. Sutton, a second-round pick in 2018, has 2 years remaining on a four-year, $60.8 million deal that he signed in November of 2021.
Somebody put a side-by-side, and situations are different, but they put up Christian Watson's rookie numbers versus Cortland Sutton's numbers last year on, like, so many less targets. And it was like, and this guy is holding out? Like, are you kidding me?
He had that run, you know, in the back half of the season, Sutton scored a lot of touchdowns every week. He ended up scoring 10. Yeah.
Right, which is great, and that's fine.
But he had, what, like 57 targets?
Yeah,
something like that on the season? Like, it was crazy, the volume of touchdowns.
He did get a lot of touchdowns, hey, that's their problem, not ours. Because we're going to have Rome Odunze, at least if the trade goes down this way. By the way,
do you know what they're going to give up? Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes, John. What percentage would you give on the Jags trading up at all? At any amount of spots, you know, it could be two spots to grab Terry and Arnold, could be whatever.
Yeah, I'd say, I don't know, 25.
Yeah, something like that. 1 in 5, 1 in 4.
That will be something they, I would be surprised, not shocked, because you're never shocked with anything like that. But I would not think that would be the direction.
I think if they trade up for a guy, it might be a corner, and they trade up to like 14 to get ahead of Indianapolis, who clearly. Sure, needs,
I don't think you do
help.
Much more than that. I don't think you give up a ton more equity than that for a corner, because it's. But I, yeah.
But
I
if,
see
you
one
love,
spots.
If you love, if you love one of the top two guys and are at risk of missing out on both of them, and you want to get ahead of a division rival who may also be coveting one of those guys, I could see that move. So here are the proposed scenarios up and back that I ran by Tony earlier at Pro Football Network. All right, Jags give up to get to number 8 to take Rome Odunze, who I think they'd love to have, okay? 17, 48, your fifth rounder this year, 153, and your second next year. You get 8. You get nothing else back, okay? That's scenario 1, okay? You get 8. It's a first, 2 seconds, and a fifth. Scenario 2, Dallas Turner slides in the draft, and he's available at 17, prompting Philadelphia to send you an offer. They're coming up from 22. They're giving you their second-round pick, which is like 53, I think, but you have to give up 96 and 114 going back. Now, if you're going to try to trade from 96 to 53, it would take a hell of a lot more than 114. It would take like your second the following year.
Yeah, okay? You're giving up more than you're getting.
You think you're giving up more than you're getting in this? You're moving 5 spots in the first round. You're packaging 96 and 114 and getting 53
back. I'm sorry, I had it reversed. Yeah. Okay.
So you're probably netting more
right.
on the end. But you also, from 53 to 116, you got nothing now,
right.
right? You got no third. You lost one of your fourths. In that scenario, bunch of guys the Jags like were on the board, but the top two corners were gone, and they went for Cooper DeJean. Putting aside who they take with that, because we don't know what the board would look like. Obviously, that move up to eight would be for Odunze. Would you like that move up, or would you like the move back and collect more for, like, the third corner as opposed to the third wide receiver?
Probably back, because I'll be swayed in this thought by the fact that people think this is an incredibly deep receiver draft.
Mm-hmm.
And to go up for a receiver and give up a lot in a deep receiver draft seems counterintuitive. The other side of that is if you think the kid's special, then you go get special. That's always been. Yeah.
Right, and that's the thing, right? So, like, everyone has a top three this year.
Right.
And it's the same top three, and
right.
they're all seen as a cut above. I read one analyst today said, if Brian Thomas was in last year's draft, he'd be the number one receiver in last year's draft. So if
right.
you look at it that way, he ain't Marvin Harrison. Well, he's
right.
also better than a lot of guys who've come down the
right.
line recently. And just because this draft is super rich at that position at the top, he could end up being a huge value at 17 even. You
Brian
know?
Thomas.
Yeah, if
yeah.
you feel that way about him.
Yeah, that's a name that certainly sticks out when you're talking to people as – there's a few guys in that mid-first round who could wind up being special. He's at the top of the list. You never know, because if they knew, he'd be in the top 10, but that's the thought.
Do you have any sense for how they feel about Cooper DeJean, whether that be at 17 or any point in the first
Not really.
Round?
No.
Okay.
I'd be guessing, and I hate to tell you that.
When's the last time they brought you in the war room and asked you what you would do?
That's where I'm headed next.
Are you
Not
going
yet.
Right after the show? You couldn't have
yeah,
done that yesterday?
That's why I've got to
would
get out of here.
Would have been convenient for us.
Yeah.
Is that right? You got to roll?
Yeah, I got to roll.
All right. We got to figure out next week, by the way, what we're doing
yeah.
around these parts. It's going to be a busy week, but we'll figure that all out. All right. Why don't we do this? Instead of trying to force in a few Foye Aluikun thoughts, we'll take a break here. We'll come back with a couple. We'll take a look at some of the responses to the question today, and we'll give our best answer to it as well. In 5 years, Trevor Lawrence will blank. What would you fill in the blank with out there? That's your Jaguars Today Chad and Sandy Real Estate Question of the Day. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Nobody knows the Jags like Johnny O.
Oh, knows. Brought to you by
Kingfish Pest Control, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars
on 1010XL.
You know, we're getting down to the home stretch here for the 2024 NFL draft. So our plan next week is to have some of our draft correspondents, guys like Tony Pauline and Chad Ryder, join us on the program. By the way, Chad Ryder just did a piece. Every team's basically like dream two players in the first two rounds. Like what would be the perfect
mm-hmm.
combination that you could land? I found it to be very interesting for the Jags. Johnny O is going to join us Tuesday.
Tuesday 11. Fired up.
Then on Wednesday, we'll do our media mock draft, 89th annual. on Thursday, we will bring in more local correspondents. At least we'll invite them to join us. Guys like Demetrius Harvey, John Shipley, Hayes Carline et al. And get their thoughts on what's going to happen. And we'll be, you know, half day away. And then Friday's all about you next week reacting to how you felt the Jags did, at least in round one. That's all we'll have a chance to react to on Friday. But that's kind of the tentative plan. By the way, the two players, the Jags, and I can't find Chad's piece because, man, navigating NFL.com, they don't make it easy sometimes.
They
really don't. It's like, all right, we got a story up. It's up for 2 hours. Now we're going to hide it.
Yeah,
and, you know, maybe you'll find it a week from now. Maybe you won't. Anyway, he had Fautanu, the offensive tackle or offensive lineman, and basically said, he can play anywhere for you this year that you need him to, with an idea that he'll be a starting tackle for you next year. And Mason Smith, the defensive tackle out of LSU in round two. And, you know, how well he thought he would pair with Eric Armstead and all this. Can you imagine? I mean, look, people want to talk about building through the line of scrimmage, right? Big uglies, never can go wrong with another good lineman. No receiver, no corner in the first two rounds. That would, you know, like, you can't have it all.
Right. From a philosophical team-building view, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But
for a fan engagement point of view? I don't I mean, look, some would love it. Others would be like, what are we doing?
Right.
You know, but
I could easily see them not going receiver in the first two rounds. I'd be surprised if corner's not there somewhere. Just
I could see they have looked at a lot of them, right? Like various kind, like they visited with Terry and Arnold. Okay, sure. But they've also looked at a lot of mid-round guys, mm-hmm. right? And knowing you can't get them all,
they may take two.
Maybe they do, yeah. right? But maybe they take two in the fourth.
Right.
Right. Or maybe they take a third and a fourth, right? Yeah. And because you can go Tyson Campbell, Ronald Darby with guys like Monteric Brown. You've got some other experience. I'm not saying it's great, yeah. right? But
no, I know.
Okay, if you prioritize fixing that
on defensive line, right?
Right, then maybe you're not as good in these other spots. And that's, you know, we all have our idea of what they need to prioritize, different ways to do it. One thing they don't need to worry about is inside linebacker. Foye Oluokun gets his contract extension with the team, spoke yesterday, and talked about his impression of new defensive coordinator Ryan Nielsen.
Yeah, so I knew a lot of the guys in Atlanta. Hit him up right away about, you know, the kind of guy he is or how he coaches and stuff. Pretty hard nosed, a lot of good energy coming from him. Kind of runs a straight ship. The guys will respond very well to that, keeping guys accountable, and we're all going to play as hard as we can for him.
Yeah, Foye should know all the guys up there in Atlanta. So he talked to the guys he played with a couple years ago. Yeah. He was also asked about Nielsen and what he has learned early on here about his new scheme.
We really haven't gotten too deep into schematics, but there's just watching the way that Atlanta played last year and the Saints before that. I think he got a lot of his defenses from that. Just watching the way they play. They play aggressive. They attack. They're downhill. They play fast all over. It's all about effort. And I think that's where he's going to keep our standard to. Playing hard, playing aggressive. If we just take those outside of scheme, just take that style of play, I think a good deal of things will happen for us.
Still waiting for the first coordinator to get hired where one of his players says, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this passive scheme. We're going to sit back and see what happens.
Oh, is Ryan aggressive?
Apparently he is.
Okay, well,
as is every defensive coordinator that it's ever been hired.
I am waiting to cover my first passive defensive coordinator.
We're going to get after it, yeah. Right?
We're sort of going to go.
We want to get after the quarterback.
Right.
We want to create turnovers.
Right.
I mean,
whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. Man, I don't know what he's going to run.
Might rush.
I got my money. I don't know. Right. Nah, kidding. Boy, he didn't say that. So this is a good question. Was the message after 2 years from Mike Caldwell somehow growing stale with this defense last year?
I don't know about stale. It's NFL. So, like, every week, you know, you're playing for your life. You're playing for your job. You're playing for a lot of things, whatever your why is. I don't think anything ever gets stale and monotonous. I think, you know, a new guy coming, you know, with his energy and passion, you maybe feel that. That might give you a little jump start. But at the end of the day, what you were doing last year wasn't working. So now that's why you have this new coach, and we're all excited to get this thing jumped off on the right way and improve ourselves, improve our defense. And we got new guys coming in who've played on, you know, high caliber defenses. So whatever they're seeing, you know, we're all receptive to it. Whatever the coach wants us to do, we're receptive to it because we know we have to be better than last year.
Look, stale or otherwise, it does. That's the bottom line. It has to be better, right? You can't, Tony. I mean, you can go on a run sometimes for a full season at last mm-hmm. where you're just creating an abnormal amount of turnovers and your defense is prospering because of that. And I felt like the Jags were able to do that maybe for the first third or so of the season. It's tough to sustain that.
No doubt.
High level, especially when you don't have, like, you got two good pass rushers, but you don't have a down-in, down-out, consistent pass rush to create that pressure on the quarterbacks. It's interesting because Ryan Nielsen, John, talks about doing it a little bit in the reverse, right? Like, our coverage mm-hmm. is going to help that pass rush. And we know they go hand in hand, but I think most people think pass rush leads to better coverage.
Yes.
Is more of the standard, right?
That's what I always grew up on. So, yes. I think, too, last year, when you stopping the run efficiently, then all of a sudden your turnover opportunities go way, way down because the other team's not in as many bad down and distance.
No, right. The obvious passing situations.
Yeah, which is where most turnovers come.
Jaguars adding Eric Armstead from one of the better teams and defenses in the National Football League. And Foye was asked about his addition yesterday.
Great player and part of a great defense. So not only his abilities on the field, but his leadership as well. Holding that whole room to a standard. Being able to be an example and then coming, you know, seeing what he sees we need to do differently. And try to implement things that he knows works the whole defense.
It really added a really good player in the middle of that defensive line. You know what I mean? And it's it's almost, I think, I don't think it's being overlooked, right?
But a little it is.
Because of the timing, like he wasn't a free agent to open free agency, for one thing. So it wasn't like a guy we discussed heavily going into it. He became available. Could we trade for him?
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, trade with Houston fell through. Bam. Yeah.
The timing of it made some of the fan base react to, well, that's the pivot because they didn't get Calvin.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's how the fan base reacted. And it's like, well, no, they've
the
stated
money
pretty
was
clearly
still in front of Calvin.
Right. Like,
even after the
they could have done
signing.
Both. If they needed to do both, they could have done both. That's the order the deals got done. You know, Eric Armstead's here, Calvin Ridley isn't. That's the way it worked out.
Yeah, he could quietly be, because he's not a huge sack number guy, he could, quote, quietly be a big reason they're a lot better.
Right. You don't need to be, if he's a like a 6 to 8 sack guy.
Right.
And he's
that's major
forcing
impact.
You to double team him. Ooh, that, I mean, that's as much benefit as anything that you get.
And
a guy
if he
that,
makes you better against the run, they can't be as porous as they were the last 6 weeks.
Right, he's a good all around player though. At least that's his reputation.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's what you need. All of a sudden,
what do you think about drafting a big defensive like a space eater type to play like early? So but they've got over $10 million a year wrapped up in Hamilton and Roy Robertson Harris.
Second round, not first. I'd be surprised. Like,
okay, either one. 48th pick.
Yeah, I mean,
you're good with that?
I'm good with it because we've seen so much. If you're weak on the defensive line.
I get it. I'm just at, all right, so we drafted.
You're a weak team.
We drafted Brian Thomas in round one. Okay? Yeah. We have no corner help coming yet.
Right.
Right. We got wide receiver. We got no O-line help. I'm just at, that's kind of the.
I don't think they'll do that. I would be fine with it because I guess as I get older and watch more and more football with more and more history in
line
it.
Line of scrimmage.
If you're not good on the defensive line, you have a tough time winning games.
All right. Well, one of the guys that they count on to make them good on the defensive line is Trayvon Walker. And Foye was asked about what kind of growth he has seen from the now soon-to-be third-year Jaguar.
A lot of confidence in his own ability, I think. And then, you know, trusting his techniques that he's been practicing in the offseason. And then Josh playing well on top of that. And then them playing off of each other definitely did well. I think a relentless motor he's always had when – things got tough in games. We told him, you know, we need sacks and we need pressure on the quarterback. See, I think he's always been able to pressure the quarterback about finishing. And I know some games they had a lot of pressures and no sacks. They would be on the sideline kicking themselves. I'm like, bro, we're winning. They'd be kicking themselves. So I'm liking that out of them. But I think just that pressure they put on themselves in order to be, I won't say perfect, but play at the highest level of football that they know they can, propel them to play that well.
Foye didn't duck away from how disappointing the back half of the season was last year.
Neither of them did.
Right, and they both seemed to carry it back with them to the podium, you know, speaking to the media for the first time since the season ended. And Foye was asked about how can they make sure that kind of collapse doesn't happen again.
Everybody's committed to doing things right this time around. You know, you don't want to say, we don't want to get in that position again. And it starts from the first game all the way to the last, you know. But just keeping improving every week, no matter what the scoreboard is, you know, keeping our standard every week. Because sometimes you win games that you didn't play your best. Now you don't learn from them if you're not trying to get better. I think that kind of happened to us, and we're not going to do that this year.
All right, just a couple more here from Foye Oluokun, and we'll wrap things up for the day with some thoughts on Trevor Lawrence's near-term future. Ryan Nielsen coming in, 4-3-3-4. Did you hear they're going to be multiple, Tony? Have you heard that? That's a new phrase.
Multiple,
I think,
maybe aggressive.
Aggressive and multiple. Yeah. Anyway, does Foye envisioning his job changing at all with Ryan Nielsen coming in?
As a linebacker, you pretty much have the same job description. You know, be the captain of the defense, lead them, call out what you see. Now the techniques and stuff might change in terms of how you play a play, but kind of always the same, like being a linebacker. So I have the utmost confidence in myself to be able to adapt to whatever the scheme change is going to be. But there is going to be a scheme change for sure.
Still early. We don't know exactly what that scheme is going to be. They're introducing whatever it is here through the first couple of days of the offseason program. And Foye was asked about the difference that we may all see in Nielsen's scheme.
So everybody has a part in the defense. I'm trusting everybody's going to do their part. We talked about, I'm sure, if you watch the film, playing in lighter boxes, but dominating in lighter boxes as well. Not just being able to get through rundowns in a lighter box, be able to, you know, make your plays and stuff. So I think I talked about earlier, keeping our, like, matching your coverages more. It's just the way, you know, his defense is set up. But I'm excited to play in it.
All right, there you go. Foye Oluokun. Excited for all the money I'm going to be making as well as that. And I would be too, Foye, if I were
you. The money question was funny. Because he got asked about it. He was like, that don't mean it's not the most important thing.
Look,
talked about the third contract and taking care of the family. Yeah.
Right, when you identify guys that are self-motivated and are good players, then you don't worry about that kind of stuff. Right. I don't think they're worried that Josh Allen's going to go, I got mine now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he's going to be Josh Allen. That's why you give him that money, because you think he's going to continue to be that or better.
Yeah, that's why you feel safe paying guys like that. You never hear any whisper that, hey, maybe Josh won't. Keep trying, keep motivated, keep the same guy. He got here by being the guy he is, and he'll keep being that guy.
All right, so today, that brings us to our question of the day, presented by Chad and Sandy Real Estate. In 5 years, Trevor Lawrence will blank. We asked you to fill in the blank. I'm happy to go first. I'm happy to go last. Who would like, anybody want to jump in? You want me to lead it off? You got it?
I can go, you can go. I'm happy to go whatever
order. I'm trying to give Johnny the – John, it looks like he's warmed up in the bullpen over there. Come on, Cam Newton's replacement. Let's go.
Top three MVP player the last 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
I don't know if he'll win it.
Right. So 5 years from now, we'll look back and say for the last 2 or 3 years, he was an MVP contender.
Yeah, in the – right.
Okay. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. – I would love that. That would be good, Tony, for you.
Easily the best quarterback in franchise history by the time we get to the end of this 5 years. And – my expectations are still so high for Trevor Lawrence that I think he'll be well on his way to being central in the argument for the best player in franchise history.
Okay.
By the time we get to the end of this 5 years.
Pockets, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I'm more with Tony. They definitely go back to an AFC championship at least one more time, maybe a Super Bowl, but I'm more with Tony. Definitely the best quarterback we've had ever.
Okay, I'm going to put – there are always going to be a few people that, well, no matter what.
If he's what I said, he'll be that too.
Oh, that's fine. Absolutely. Right? But where's that? How would you answer it? And that's fine. There are always going to be a few detractors no matter what, right? No matter, well, it could have been better. Right? So that's fine. I'm going to say he'll be working on his either playing under or about to sign his third contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? Which means he could sign one this year and have it start to wrap up and be under it already, or maybe they go next offseason, whatever.
You look at the deals that got done last year, right, with Burrow and Herbert. They got 5-year extensions on top of the year they had left, right? That's what they wound up getting.
But beyond that,
yeah,
I think he'll have answered the detractors' questions about whether he's worth that kind of status of being – I don't know what the money's going to be then. Is it $50 million a year, $60, $75 million? I have no idea, right? But to be paid among the top 6 to 8 quarterbacks and not be looked at like, what? Like,
right, nobody will do
Daniel
that.
Jones, what? You know, like, that's how I feel he'll be. Now, he's got to do that. I can't just wish that to arrive here. Here's some of the answers we've got. And a lot of people are still very optimistic about Trev. In 5 years, Trevor Lawrence will have been league and Super Bowl MVP, from Chris Giano. Scott says he will be a Jaguar, a top 10 quarterback, and hopefully a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Well, hopefully. Sure, right? Yeah. What do you think he will be? Mm-hmm. We already told you, Terrence said he'll be playing for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Tommy says he'll be able to do similar pre-snap diagnosis of Joe Burrow. Okay?
Okay.
Sounds like a guy that doesn't believe in Trevor Lawrence. Let's see, league MVP, Super Bowl champ, starter for the Jaguars. Yeah. I think that's accurate. If I'm making a bet, I think that's the safest bet I've heard so far. We'll lead the Jaguars to a Super Bowl win, regular season MVP, 2-time All-Pro, lead the NFL in passing yards and passing TDs in at least 2 years, and one conference title game at minimum, from Big Will. So big things expected. Be wearing 5 Super Bowl rings. All right, some people went that route as well.
Yeah.
You know, will be considered an average at worst starting quarterback. An average at worst starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. Well, that's even that to me is a low bar.
Yeah,
I'm with you. And I get it. Average at worst, but I hope it's better than that. And that's on the low end. Lead the Jags record books in yards and TDs. Have the most playoff wins of any Jaguar quarterback. Super Bowl MVP. Still be a Jaguar. Two-time Super Bowl champ. Very rich young man. Have at least one MVP trophy. Appear in two AFC title games. Aaron Rodgers-esque. Most accurate quarterback in the league. Critical of his young wide receiver's annual trip to Costa Rica for a retreat.
You see the most recent one we just had?
I did not.
Best
what is
QB
it?
In the AFC South.
Okay, that's a good one, right? Because there's competition. Stroud
has
particularly
raised the bar, yeah.
Right? And we don't know what Anthony Richardson turns into, and even Will Levis, for that matter. Everybody's got a young one right now. So, I think overall, still very high expectations for Trevor Lawrence from a lot of the people. And again, you're only as good as the feedback you're getting, right? So that doesn't necessarily represent the entirety of the fan base's reaction to him, but certainly some positive ones out there. John, what do you have cooked up for the next 7 days or so as we lead into the NFL draft?
We'll be talking to Bucky Brooks on the Huddle Up podcast here in a few minutes.
Who's Bucky want at 17? What's his play?
I forget what his last one was. He's gone sort of either way or everybody else with a corner and maybe defensive tackle in that range.
I'd rather have an O tackle than a D tackle myself.
I think I would too. Yeah. But
I love the idea of like a Faletano who can come in. Let's throw him out there. Let him win a guard spot, you know, if he does, or for that matter, win a tackle spot
and
right
give
away.
You a feeling of having two building block offensive.
We got lineup. We got our tackles.
Yeah.
We got our left guard.
Right.
We got our center for the short term.
Right.
Maybe Cooper Hodges turns into our right guard.
Right.
Wouldn't be the worst.
Right. You start sort of putting blocks together. Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem.
And then
you move
on to we need a long term center.
Yeah.
Right? Which
you're supposed to be able to go get in the third round.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
You know?
And then tomorrow, Trent and Doug talk at the pre-draft.
So yes.
That'll be not interesting, but we'll go.
Looking forward to it. No, it won't. They never really say.
And I don't say that as anything against those two guys. But if they're interesting, then they're screwing it up.
All right, my brother. Well, we appreciate you popping in. So we'll talk to you next Tuesday here.
Absolutely.
And encourage folks to check out the Daily Mailbags and all the latest as John spills all the secrets.
And what
Trent Baalke plans to do.
It's on the special password page.
Yes. As long as you got
so
the password.
So good. It's almost like not worth watching the draft. Because it's already happened.
Right. And just remember, halftime of week one, I'm going to say, sup? Question mark.
Sup? Right.
And I don't even remember what you're going to be telling me at that
Trevor,
point.
Trevor, is he better at the...
Did he fix all the issues?
Sup?
Is he ready for the enshrinement in Canton, Ohio?
New phone, who dis?
Who dis? I'm sure you will. I wouldn't doubt it. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks to John Osier, for Tony Smith and Dylan Denmark. I'm Mike Dempsey. Helmets and Heels coming up. We'll be back again tomorrow. A week out from the 2024 NFL Draft here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.